Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Thursday to you. I'm Andy, back in studio. Disc Herniation Clinic studio after being on the road the last few days. Feels good to be back in town, although I'm not going to... And I was trying to explain this concept earlier to Stockton. Stockton's here, by the way. Hi, Stockton.
Hello.
When you get older, and I don't know when this happened, like in my 30s, maybe 40s, but people that are my age know exactly what I'm talking about, or older. If you sleep in a bed that is other than your bed at home, no matter how good that other bed is, you don't sleep very well. Everything's different. There's a different feel. Your shoulder will hurt, or the edge isn't where you think it is. I don't know. It's a weird concept, but yeah, when you get used to it. And I have a feeling people who maybe don't even have great beds feel the same way. You just get used to the bed that you're in. It's a strange phenomenon.
And I'm kind of the opposite, though, because I've had cases where I'm on a long car trip or something like that, or maybe I just had a really long day. Before I got this job, I had this. I went on vacation in California for a few days, and we spent all day at Universal Studios Hollywood, and I have never been so tired. I have never been so tired after a day, which was good. We did a lot of fun stuff, but we came back to the hotel, and I have never gotten that.
You passed out, huh?
Yeah, I never got that. Cool. That strong. I never slept so soundly in my whole life.
That's pretty cool. But so, yeah, we did stay at a nice hotel. The beds were nice. Everything was nice. The first night, stayed at my son's house on the road trip, and a great bed there. He had one of the Sleep Number beds and everything. But ooh. I just couldn't quite get the good night's sleep that I got last night. Last night was good. I got like 8 hours last night. Man, that never happens.
Ever been on one of those like reclining Sleep Number beds?
No, I don't. No.
So I guess like if you like slightly give yourself a little bit of elevation on your upper back, and it's just, oh my gosh, my ex mother-in-law had the best bed.
Hmm.
And I remember there was one time where we were house sitting and they're like, you can use our fancy bed. And it was so nice, but I'm pretty sure that bed was like thousands of dollars.
All right, so I have for you a couple of observations from the road. Number one, every time I go up to Orem, I like to go to the Winco in Orem. I don't know if you've ever been to a Winco out there, folks, but Winco is the kind of place that everything seems to be just a little bit cheaper than your average grocery store. And then they have a ginormous section in the case of the Orem store. It's kind of in the right back corner of the store. But it's huge, and it's a section of bulk food. You can buy anything from oats to candy to you can grind your own peanut butter back there. They have a machine for that, and you know, dried fruit, flour, sugar. Just a giant section of bulk foods, and you can get as much or as little as you want. And they always have some really creative, fun stuff. They had, you know, like chocolate covered cinnamon bears, chocolate covered banana chips. They had, I mean, just it's really good. They have sugar free area. It's just a really cool experience. So, and the reason I bring Winco up, besides that I like to go there, is there are rumors circulating, and I can tell you they are not even rumors anymore. Winco is coming to Southern Utah. They have not yet secured the exact location, but I can tell you it will likely be in Washington City. And Washington City is hopeful. Again, they haven't signed everything, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, but there has been a proposal. It's been talked about in city council. So this is not like the first word of it out there, but it's the first time maybe publicly it's been talked about. But Winco is coming to Southern Utah. Now, having said that, Winco builds their own building, and so they have to acquire land and build a building and then hire workers and train them and stock them. I mean, we're talking probably a couple of years away before it actually opens, but Winco is coming to Southern Utah. You should know one thing about Winco that has been a source of consternation at times for me. They do not accept credit cards. If you go to Winco, you either have to have a debit card, you know, with the little passcode, or checks or cash. They do not accept credit cards. And so we've gotten so used to paying for everything anymore with our credit card. We use ours much like a checkbook where we pay it off every month, which I highly recommend. Do not carry a balance on your credit card if you can avoid it. But Winco does not accept credit cards at all. And so there have been many times I'm like, oh, let's go to Winco. And my wife's like, well, do you have cash? I'm like, no, I don't have any cash. And she's like, I'm like, do you have cash? She's like, no, I don't have any cash. And then we're like, you know, kind of stuck. Now, we are old school enough, we still have a checkbook. And that's actually what we paid with this time on our trip. We actually remembered to bring our checkbook and paid with a check. They did like want 18 forms of ID or something with that. But just be aware of that. I think most people pay with a debit anymore. The other other place that I always like to hit, there's two other places I like to hit when I go up north. Trader Joe's. Now, Stockton, are you a Trader Joe's guy? Do you like that place?
One of my favorite things ever on planet Earth is these chocolate caramel truffles with sea salt on top of them. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Got them for Christmas one year, and I think they lasted like less than a second. I think I ate them so fast they like teleported into a different dimension.
Trader Joe's. And by the way, I should mention Mayor Rick Rosenberg, Santa Clara, is coming up here in a few minutes. We're not just here winging it today. He is coming in just a little while. But
we're not just giving you water cooler talk.
No, although that's fun too. I love Trader Joe's. In fact, I have to tell myself when I go into Trader Joe's, I'm like, okay, let's break it down by category. I get to pick one kind of, you know, sweet chocolate type thing.
Yeah.
I get to pick one type of, you know, salty snack, you know, and they have so many. And then I get to pick one type of sauce. You know, I'm a sauce aficionado. I love barbecue sauces. And Trader Joe's actually does it. They have some pretty darn good sauces there, including a pineapple barbecue sauce.
It
is my favorite on the planet.
That sounds like a Hawaiian dream.
It is so good. Anyway, so we went in yesterday, and you know, I don't vocalize this to my wife, but in my head I know I get one thing from each category. That's all I can get. And then I told my wife, I said, you know what, you've been so patient, you know, helping me on this road trip, because she wasn't working. I mean, you know, except for a little bit with her laptop, she was basically on the road trip just to provide emotional support for me or whatever. And I said, you deserve a treat. You ought to get something. And so I'd pick something after. No, I don't want that. I picked something. No, I don't want that. And I thought she was going to leave the store without a treat.
Getting it. Oh,
I was
no.
Like, and it made me feel guilty because I had two or three things in there.
Right.
And she grabbed a bag of potatoes. I'm like, that does not count as your treat, bag of potatoes.
Bag
no.
Of potato. No. And then while you're on a trip?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we were out of potatoes at home. So she's very pragmatic. Anyway, finally, we got toward the end of the store, and in the very last row is the salty snacks, and she saw a bag of peanut butter filled pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
That is like her go-to. That's her number one favorite treat.
Rightly so.
She saw Trader Joe's has their own version of peanut butter filled pretzels. She did finally succumb and actually pick a treat. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
It was dwarfed by the 8 different things I had in the cart for me, but she did
pick a treat. I've heard Trader Joe's lemonade is so good. And
I've never tried that.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a lemonade aficionado. He loves trying new brands of lemonade. And he says that Trader Joe's marks really high on the list.
Well, you know, Trader Joe's is an interesting place because, yeah, they. I mean, oh, that's a health food. No, not really. They have some organic stuff. You know, and some of their stuff in their freezer section. Oh, this was, you know, made from chicken that had no antibiotics. And I'm thinking to myself, I want my chicken to have an antibiotic so that it's not sick, but whatever. But just the fact their business model is everything in their store is made by the Trader Joe's brand.
Yes.
Everything is Trader Joe's. I love that. And then they kind of think outside the box with a lot of stuff. I mean, you think, you know, traditional treats, you know, you got your peanut butter cups and you got caramels. Well, Trader Joe's will do something like cinnamon roll flavored sandwich cookies or what. I mean, just all these different ideas. And so it's not a giant store. I was the first time I went to Trader Joe's. This was a few years ago. I was surprised it's actually not that big.
Well,
smaller than like half the size of Albertsons.
With all the memes and all like the demand to have a Trader Joe's here in Washington County, which rightfully so, it's a great store. But a lot of people don't realize that they have such a very, they keep their selection very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that on purpose because it keeps the quality of their product at an all-time high.
Yeah, and a great business model in keeping it limited and only selling their own brands, which I think is incredibly smart, and making a lot of those brands just incredibly good. I don't know. I would love to see a Trader Joe's here. I've talked with my friend McCray Hepler, who has always got his finger on the pulse, right, of Washington County and what's coming. No, Trader Joe's isn't coming yet.
And during the State of the City address, Mayor Michelle Randall straight up said, like, the moment there is a Trader Joe's, she's going to appear on camera with McCray Hepler in one of his videos announcing it.
But, you know, I actually did, last year I did a story about Trader Joe's when they were announcing expansion, and I got a hold of a member of the Trader Joe's. It wasn't like the CEO or anything, but it was one of their management representative, and they said, we have very strict particular population rules about where we open stores. And if there's not, you know, if there's not a million people in the immediate area, it's not happening.
And we're not even, we're barely a tenth.
The county's 200,000, so a fifth. But the problem, the thing that I tried to explain to them, and I wasn't lobbying for a store. I just wanted them to understand we are an incredible tourist mecca here in St. George.
Yeah, we are a resort city, as Jeremy Larkin said.
There are times when the city of St. George itself, and this is not counting the entire city, the city of St. George is going to have 60 or 70,000 people in town for an event, like President's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And the county is likely to have 100,000 people in town for an event. And so we swell, you know, we swell to almost double our size on these big weekends. And then on just regular weekends, we have, you know, lots of visitors from California, from Northern Utah, from Idaho, et cetera, et cetera. So, but they do have some very strict rules, and we'll see if that ever happens. And certainly we will be all over it here at KDXU
we absolutely will.
Trader Joe's.
I got to ask, though, that Winco you were talking about, is the same, the rules of payment there, isn't that the same exact rules of Costco?
No, Costco, you can use the credit card. You just have to use a particular credit card.
American Express.
It used to be. They switched over to Visa.
Oh,
and it has to be like a Chase Visa card now.
Oh, really?
For Costco.
So it can't be any kind of Visa credit card. It has to be a Chase Visa.
To get in, I'm pretty sure it has to be a certain kind of Visa card.
Yeah. Right.
So, and maybe if folks want to text me and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but. The cool thing about the credit card, though, and we actually did this last night, my wife and I, the Chase credit card pays you, I think it's 1% back on all purchases. And then if you get gas and some of the other things, it's 2 or 3 or even 4% back. And so when your year is up, and I know it's, people say, well, all they're doing is giving your money back. Well, that's true. But, hey, isn't it nice when your year is up and you get a $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 check, you almost feel like, hey, you know, I'm going to go shopping for free now. And you can maybe buy a few things that you wouldn't normally buy because you have, you're playing with house money, as they
say.
Yes,
yes.
So, but Costco, you can have a credit card, but it has to be a particular one.
Gotcha.
So, and for years, we had an American Express, and we did not have a Visa because that's what our Costco card was. Now they've switched over to Visa, and we don't have, I think we might have that old American Express, but we don't use it anymore.
Because you go by the Costco rules.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Understandable.
And again, I would recommend folks, if you do use a credit card, we talked about this a little bit last week on the show, but don't carry a credit card debt. I mean, the interest rates they're charging, find any other way to pay that credit card off. Even if you have to take out like a home equity loan or something like that, because any other loan is going to be, you know, the prime rate, you know, 6% or 7%. The credit card companies are going to charge you 10, 15, 20, 25. I forget who I had on the show the other day, but they said, yeah, the credit card rate for some of those, you know how you shop at a place and they have their own credit card, you know, a Penny's card or a Shields card or whatever.
Amazon even has one.
The rates on those credit cards are usually 20. He said one place he went to was 25% interest rate.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So don't carry a balance. Do everything you can to avoid carrying a balance on a credit card. Pay it off the best, with something else. If you have to sell a car, whatever it is. If you have to sell a kidney. No, don't sell a kidney. I'm joking about that. But pay it off as easily as you can. All right. Mayor Rick Rosenberg is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the American dream. I also wanted to talk about some of these numbers. Immigration numbers are staggering. 3.8 million immigrants, illegal immigrants in the country in the last year. Well, no, 2 years since Biden took over. 3.8 million. You know how many people Utah has in it? Just under 3 million. So, yeah, more illegal immigrants came in the country in the last couple of years than the entire state of Utah and 35 other states, for that matter. Those are sobering numbers. All right, let's take a break. Mayor Rosenberg coming up.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back, 929 on KDXU. Rick Rosenberg, Mayor of Santa Clara, joins me via the telephone. Hi, Mayor Rosenberg, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on the program today. It's funny, yesterday I was talking with Zach Renstrom, the water czar here in the area, and we're talking about trying to find a better name for Graveyard Wash now that they're talking about putting a reservoir in there. And somebody said, how about Rosenberg Reservoir? And he said, yeah, Rick wasn't too keen on that idea.
No, if you've lived in Washington County long enough, you don't want to have your name on any of these reservoirs.
Okay. Well, I got a list. Yesterday we had people texting in with ideas on what to call the new reservoir. Dixie Reservoir, Washington Reservoir, Randall Reservoir, St. George Reservoir, Red Rock Reservoir, Rosenberg made it, Santa Clara Reservoir. Somebody even suggested Griffin Reservoir. That wasn't me, and I don't like it either. You're right. I don't want my name on it. But any thoughts? We cannot call it the Graveyard Wash Reservoir. I'm flat out against that one.
Yeah, that's nobody's real high on that one. You know, there's probably a couple of names on just some of the formations out there. The area up the river from the reservoir site is, at least I've always called it Big Rock.
Big Rock.
Big Rocks Reservoir, Big Rock Reservoir, something like that. You've got the Santa Clara River Reserve out there. Petroglyph Park Reservoir. There's probably some names that could come out just from some of the local sites that are there close to the reservoir.
Yeah, I kind of like Big Rocks Reservoir. That sounds pretty cool. Big Rock, kind of like Big Rock Candy Mountain, right? Big Rocks Reservoir.
So there you go.
Mayor Rosenberg, of course, is a geologist. Tell me again your official job title. You evaluate soils, basically.
Well, like Rosenberg, the firm that I established forever ago, does full service geotech and civil engineering. I'm a licensed civil and environmental engineer.
Wow.
So I deal more with civil design, roads, bridges, flood control, utility design, that type of thing. But we do have people at the firm that are geotechnical engineers and deal with geology and soils. They do a lot of that in town.
I've always been fascinated by the omnipresence, it seems like, of the blue clay here in southern Utah. And in fact, I owned a house about 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we sold it. And I found out a year later relatively new house. I found out a year later that they had not done a very an adequate job, and the house was settling because there was blue clay, and in fact, the entire subdivision was basically settling. How much responsibility, Rick, is there on developers and home builders, and then the homeowner eventually to find this stuff out before they move in, before they even build?
You know, cities have requirements for geotechnical reports and soils reports for the subdivision before they'll let them start any subdivision development, any of the grading or development on it. So typically the reports are done, and then the developer's charged with building in accordance to the reports, and compliance reports are required by the cities. So when contractors go out and do grading on the site, then there has to be a geotechnical engineer has to look at that and then provide a compliance letter back to the city that the city files and makes available to potential home buyers. At the end of the day, I tell the home buyers, you need to become familiar with the conditions on your property before you buy. I always encourage that, and particularly in southern Utah where we have a lot of problem soils. The blue clay soils are actually an expansive soil, so that it wasn't that the subdivision settled, it's that portions of the subdivision rose up,
really
expanded up and lifted the home up. But you also have soils down here that are collapsible soils, that when moisture hits them, they will lose their strength and collapse under the load above them. We have both of them down here, and varying, difficulties. And so the amount of the soil can expand can change. The amount the soil can collapse can change. And, there's like 12 or 13 different geologic hazards that are all present in Washington County. So if you're buying property in Washington County, you should become familiar with which ones of those geologic hazards are impacting your particular property, and then make sure that the work you're doing on your lot and your home construction can mitigate the risk associated with it. There are things you can do to mitigate the potential for the expansive soil to cause you a problem, or the collapsible soil, or the rockfall hazard, or the floodplain impact, or the landslide, all of those geologic hazards. There are ways to mitigate it. The important part is that you find out what they are and which ones are impacting you, and then make sure that as you go through your design and construction process that you mitigate those to the best way possible. So should understand that.
Yeah. As an engineer in southern Utah, are there certain practices, things going on that you just kind of shake your head and you're like, I drive around, and those of us that remember the flood and the houses falling in the river and stuff, I drive around and look at the things being built on the riverbed area, and I think these people are crazy, because we may only have the once in 100 years flood, but it does flood occasionally. Is there anything like that that you kind of go around, drive around southern Utah and kind of shake your head at?
Oh yeah, there's always there's things you drive around and see, and I say, well, I hope they've done their due diligence on the property, and I hope they've mitigated it properly, so that that risk can be reduced. There are, the cities have geologic hazard ordinances in place, and floodplain ordinance, erosion hazard zone ordinances in place that require developers and builders to go through it can be a very complicated process before they get the permission to develop. And if they go through that process, then they've mitigated, what we call an acceptable risk. Flooding is kind of the 100-year flood is, or the 1% chance of that flood happening in any given year is the flood that the city and FEMA, the government, requires us to mitigate against. And so that's what the ordinance are all set up for. But then you could have a bigger flood could happen tomorrow. a much bigger flood, a 1,000-year event, could happen tomorrow, and then you've only mitigated to the 100-year, so you're still at risk. So the risk will never go away. You mitigate it to the best extent that you can and meet the ordinance with it, and then it should be protected from the flood that you designed for. If you know, there's other things that you have to be able to do too. You have to, if it's a rock riprap flood wall, you have to be able to maintain it. You have to make sure that it stays in the same condition it was when you build it, that it doesn't degrade. Erosion protection is a lot like a road. If you don't take care of it, it'll fall apart. And so there's things that have to happen that become the property owner's responsibility, or in some cases, the municipality's responsibility to make sure that maintenance is ongoing. In Washington County, we put together a flood control authority back in 2012 to help maintain and mitigate the risk of all of the damage to the flood walls that were put in after 2005 flood. And the authority does a pretty good job of monitoring and maintaining those structures when it's necessary to do that. And so there's a lot of, there's some protections in place, but it really falls down to the builder, developer, home buyer to make sure he understands the risks and is willing to accept it and then do the maintenance required to make sure it stays in place.
I'm curious, our newsman here, Stockton, has been doing stories about earthquakes, and of course we are on the hurricane fault line. I know you can't predict the future, but, experts are saying, well, one of these days a big one's going to hit southern Utah. Are we prepared somewhat, at least, for an earthquake if it does eventually come to southern Utah, Rick?
They drill every year, the emergency managers, via the state or via the local, have, earthquake drills. They go through simulations on how you would respond in the event of an earthquake. Earthquake is, everybody will tell you that it's going to happen, but they can never tell you exactly when and how big and what damage is going to occur. So you have to kind of prepare for a worst-case scenario and make sure that you've got your emergency management people in place to be able to get your emergency vehicles out there to get your damage assessments done. You've seen in some of the earthquakes up north recently the local community responds to the event, the state gets in response to the event. In some cases, you get federal disaster declarations, which can bring additional funding in to do repairs following the event. All of your building codes now have been upgraded to include earthquake and seismic zone type designs based on where you're at. And so the newer structures are better prepared to deal with it. Some of the older structures, that's typically where you have problems in an earthquake, is older buildings, particularly masonry type buildings that don't do well when they start to shake. And so there's been mitigation that's happened in a lot of the public buildings, a lot of the high-risk buildings. They've actually gone in and done repairs and remodels to make them more earthquake-resistant. And it's just something we have to be stay on top of and keep doing our due diligence for that risk as well.
I think two of the high-profile ones, of course, the St. George Temple and the Salt Lake Temple is still undergoing kind of a retrofitting, trying to get it ready in case that earthquake does ever come. And certainly we're learning a lot about earthquakes. Was it February or is it March that is earthquake awareness, Stockton? Do you remember?
I don't right off the top.
I think Stockton is here. Stockton, is February, are we at the end of earthquake month or are we at the beginning of earthquake month tomorrow?
We are at the end of earthquake
month. Oh, the end of earthquake month. Okay, we need to be ready. We'll make sure that we're ready. We're talking with Rick Rosenberg, Mayor of Santa Clara. Anything coming up in your city that exciting fun that you wanted to talk about today?
We've got some of the, it's springtime, so it's event season. We've been hosting a lot of softball and baseball tournaments in the park system out here. We've got the True Grit mountain bike and endurance race is happening next month. that starts and finishes in Santa Clara. So that's coming up. There are, there's always the smaller events that are going on out here. We're, as far as, the city goes, we're redoing the design standards in the historic district of Santa Clara, the historic downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We're updating those design standards, coming up with new standards that would impact potential commercial development a little bit more. We've had some design standards in place for a number of years. They're primarily residential home oriented, and we're seeing some more potential commercial development in the downtown. And so that's a real high priority with the residents. We want to maintain the Santa Clara Drive streetscape and the feel of the downtown. And so the massing of the buildings and the location and architectural feel of the buildings is important to help maintain that feel in downtown. It's really important to the residents. And so we're updating those standards right now to try and incorporate some of those requirements into it. We're in the budget, and like all of our neighbors are right now, we're putting together the budget for the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to project what our revenues are going to be coming in next year, and how much new growth we may anticipate, and what projects that need to happen. We've been finishing some street improvement projects in the valley portion of the city. Vineyard Drive Phase 1 and 2 is done. We're getting ready to start Phase 3 that'll finish out, an important residential road in the downtown that also provides a bypass road for Santa Clara Drive. And so we've been working on that. Just that normal budget process, it's always a good time to go through the budget season.
I'm curious what you think. The word I've heard used a lot about the Santa Clara downtown area is charming, and I like that word. I agree. I think Santa Clara, downtown Santa Clara, is charming. What does that word mean? Is that a word you want the downtown to be described as?
Yeah, I definitely. It is charming. It's unique. It is. It takes you back in time when you drive the Santa Clara downtown. If you, as old as I am, and you can remember before I-15 opened, coming through Santa Clara on our way to Las Vegas,
right?
You get that same oasis feeling when you come through Santa Clara. There's a lot of this historic stuff is still there, and we want to maintain that charm. That it's very walkable. It's pleasant when you're coming through. I have a lot of friends that live in St. George, Washington. They ride bikes. They're always out here in Santa Clara because they enjoy that feel, and it's very comfortable for them. They feel safe. We want to maintain that. We don't want to change that. When UDOT wanted to widen the road and take out the trees, the town, there was an uproar in the town. The town obtained the road so we could control, the right-of-way width and stuff down there so that we could protect the trees. Now, as traffic volume is increasing, and it's increasing dramatically, we're trying to find alternative routes that people coming through the city can take to avoid that congestion in the downtown, because that'll take away from part of that charm.
Yeah.
The traffic delays and stuff impacting residents and businesses down there. So we're working on additional corridors to go through, some improvements up on Pioneer Parkway, and encouraging more people to go through Snow Canyon Parkway. Eventually we'll get the Western Corridor that will connect old Highway 91 to Gap Canyon Parkway in St. George down by Tahnequin, eventually possibly to a road that would go back to I-15 near Sun River, which is also controversial. So it's like, we've had a lot of controversy with the Northern Corridor. I anticipate a similar amount of controversy with the Western Corridor, but by the same token, we need traffic corridors and utility corridors in order to provide the, quality of life improvements to our residents, make sure that we're not just congested all the time, and so we'll keep working on those avenues.
Definitely don't want to lose the charm. I know, you know, over here on the kind of the northeast of Tokerville, they managed to get a bypass basically so that they could keep their town the old school charm of downtown Tokerville, and that road is actually going to bypass downtown. They're pretty thrilled about that one. So that sounds like a very admirable goal, Mayor Rosenberg, to say, you know what, we've got to try to find a way to get people through Santa Clara, but not right through the middle of Santa Clara.
Right. So. Yeah, they just can't come down the old historic highway. We've got to provide, you know, other corridors for them to be able to use.
Talking with Mayor Rick Rosenberg. Rick, I got to get a commercial break in. Do you need to go, or do you want to stay on a little bit longer?
I'm good until a little bit before 10.
Okay, we'll take a commercial break. Be back right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 950 on KDXU. We're talking with Mayor Rick Rosenberg of Santa Clara City. Santa Clara, 2020 census had Santa Clara at about 7,500. Is it getting closer to 10,000 now, Mayor?
I think we're over 9,000.
Over 9, wow.
Right now, so.
I was reading a little bit about the history of Santa Clara, and I don't know that a lot of people knew this. There used to be a Fort Clara or Fort Santa Clara, but I guess you were talking about the floods earlier, the gigantic events that came. There was a gigantic flood in 1862 that wiped out the fort. Where would the fort have been? Do you know where the location of that fort would have been in modern times?
We know approximately where it was. If you're familiar with Santa Clara, we have a monument out on the west end of town before you go up the hill toward the cemetery. There's a monument and some flagpoles out there, and the fort would have been toward the river from that location on the other side of the highway. Fort site was actually destroyed during the flood, and so the city had the opportunity to pick up the property there at the base of the hill a number of years ago. And so we picked it up, and we've got a monument out there that talks about the old fort site. There's a trail that connects it up to the Jacob Hamlin home. And so, yeah, it's right there on the west side of town.
You know, we were talking about floods earlier, and they call it the Great Flood of 1862. I'm trying to imagine how big that flood must have really been to wipe out an entire fort. Man, you know, aggressive Indians couldn't wipe out the fort, but Mother Nature did.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you were here in 2005 when we lost like 22 homes along the Santa Clara River. So,
yeah,
the river has the potential to, and I imagine the fort would have been, you know, as close as they dared put it to the river back then, make it easy to get the water. The water was coming from the river. So that's one of the downsides. Everybody wants to live by the river because a lot of the days during the year, it's the most pleasant place to be down here, especially during the heat of the summer. But you get 40 days of rain in the wintertime, and it's not the place that you want to live. You want to get a little bit away from it. So they learned that lesson, relocated the town site a little bit. And with a few exceptions, they've been pretty successful mitigating the flood risk.
Now, we had a really cool story about Janine Burton was able to do a write-in candidate and get elected to the city council, and she told me she walked something like, I think she said 8 miles a day or something like that, knocking on every door in Santa Clara, and now she's been on the job for a few weeks, Mayor, but how would you assess Councilman Burton now in the early going here?
Well, she's a young city councilwoman. It takes a little while to get your legs underneath you to understand some of the complexities of the services that the city provides and what, you know, our revenues are and our costs are. She's going through her first budget development process now, which is always an education for new city council people.
For sure.
Now she brings a little different approach to the city council position, and she's very good at staying in touch with the residents. She's asking a lot of questions now. A lot of the questions are you can tell that she just doesn't have the experience in the job yet, but she was willing to learn. She's excited about it, and she's been participating in all the city council meetings and taking an active role and learning. And that's what I've always said is I'll work with anybody on a city council as long as they're willing to get involved in the job and listen to the residents, do their homework, be willing to, you know, make a motion and take a stand on issues. And it, so far it has, we haven't had anything really controversial come up before the council. That's always fun to watch the new city council people react when we have something that fills the hall with angry residents with their pitchforks and stuff. That's always an interesting meeting, but she's doing a good job. I've been excited for both of the new city council people and the way they've kind of jumped into it. Dave Pond is also a new one, and they've taken on the assignments that we've given them, and they're doing a good job with it, and I appreciate them.
And, you know, one of the things Janine said, like you, she's very, very interested in preserving the historic feel and charm and nature of downtown Santa Clara. That's, you know, people call us old sometimes for yearning for the past and some of the simpler times, but honestly, that's important. I you know, like you, I feel that's huge.
Yeah, we did a poll recently as part of the upgrade of the standards. We put out a digital poll that asked residents what they liked about the downtown, what they wanted to protect about the downtown, and we got a lot of good feedback from it. And the committee, we've got a citizen committee that is looking at the standards and. They're working hard right now. We have a moratorium in place in the historic district where no new applications can be submitted until we get these new standards done or until after, I think it's May 9th. The committee's been working hard since November. I anticipate those new standards will be coming to the city council in April, and we should be able to have them in place and effective before the end of that moratorium. And it's all about preserving, you know, what the community says is important. The residents have come out in public meetings, and we've tried to listen to them. I think the council that's in place right now, it's a real high priority with all of them, trying to maintain what we've got out here. Everybody recognizes that it's special, and we want to protect it.
Well said. He's Mayor Rick Rosenberg, Mayor of Santa Clara. Mayor, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today on Mayor Thursday. Really appreciate it.
You betcha, Andy. You take care.
All right, take care. Rick Rosenberg. He's also a prolific and talented writer, folks, for those that didn't know that. Writes about outdoors stuff. I wonder if he's ever had a bear permit. I had a friend post online Stockton the other day that they were excited because they drew a hunting permit for a black bear. And I've always thought, you know, hunting would be more exciting if whatever you're hunting could hunt you back. You know, if you're fighting for your life, you know, I'm shooting a deer or a rabbit or something, it seems kind of unfair. But if you're hunting something that could hunt you back, that makes it a little more exciting. I'm just saying.
Poses a challenge.
A couple of folks earlier in the show, we were talking about Costco and Visa. Actually got like 10 different texts from people saying basically the gist is that you have to use a Visa, but you don't have to use that particular kind of Visa. It can be any Visa. You have to have the Costco card, and there is the one I use is a combo card, a Costco card, but also a Visa card. But you can have a separate card, so you can get in with your Costco card and then pay with a different kind of Visa card. And that was the gist, basically, of all the texts that people have sent. And thank you, by the way, folks, for participating in the show. And you can use any Visa at Costco. But you cannot use American Express.
Yes.
So, again, if you didn't hear the news, it's out now. It's officially unofficial, they've talked about it in city council with Washington City. Winco is coming to Washington City. They don't know exactly where or when, and again, it's probably a couple of years off, but Winco is coming. I wrote a story yesterday. What about Sam's Club? When will that be here in southern Utah? I don't think it's very far off, though. So, with growth, there's certainly pain. Traffic and crime go up and stuff, but also you get some pretty cool stuff in town with growth, right? So that's what we're looking forward to. We're out of time today. Thank you for listening. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Thanks again to Stockton for being a part of things. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll try to do better than then.